Thoughts on Micah. Micah chapter 7, verses 8 to 13. Israel's prosperity. I want to take an overview, first of all, of these verses 8 to 13. We can come to the details later. But what a title. How amazing. How staggering. What a surprising thing. Israel's prosperity. After all that we've seen, Israel's ruin, Israel's apostasy, the strong things that Micah has been saying to them, and now in 7, 8 to 13, Israel's rise and prosperity. For all their rebellion, for all their apostasy, for all their disobedience. Now, it doesn't excuse that, of course, but nevertheless, as the end of the chapter will say, at the end of the book, who is a pardoning God like this? Which God would forgive his people like this? He restores his people. He revives his people. He refreshes his people. That's how I read the passage. This is Israel speaking. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Because I have sinned against him, I will bear the Lord's wrath. Yes, until he pleads my cause, my case, and establishes my right, he will bring me out into the light. I will see his righteousness, and so on. Let me just trace some of these things. It's an amazing thing. Who is a pardoning God like thee, or who has grace so rich and free? Wonders to forgive. Unbeliever, hear it. Some unbelievers years ago used to think they were too bad for God. I'm not sure there are many left, but you might be one. My friend, you are completely wrong. God forgives the hardest, the most difficult sinner, the most stubborn sinner. Just call upon the name of Jesus. Turn to him in repentance. Ask for mercy. And God is a God of mercy, a God of forgiveness. And it's a word for the churches. It's a word for us believers, individual believers and churches together. God forgives. Israel will fall, verse 8, but she will rise again, verse 8. She will go into darkness, verse 8, but she will come into light. She is sinning and she will bear the guilt for that, but the wrath of God, but God will return to her, verse 9. She will triumph. He will rebuild her, verse 11. He will enlarge her, verse 11. He will give her success, verse 12. All else will be ruined, verse 13. He will bring me out. My enemy will see it, and my enemy will cover with shame. My eyes will see her downfall, the one who mocked me. Even now she'll be trampled underfoot. The day for building your walls will come, the day for extending your boundaries, and so on. What a wonderful promise for Israel. Return from exile. That's how I read it here. That's the first meaning, surely, that God would yet restore Israel. Well, Judah, anyway. Of course, the exile never did match the full expectation. I don't think these prophecies can be contained in the exile return. Is it the new covenant? I'm sure it is. Is it even for us today? Yes, let's hope so. My brothers and sisters in the churches, we need to be restored, revived, awakened, refreshed. Of course, I know that some believers think it's all going hunky-dory now. I don't see it that way. But there's only one hope. God will there. We sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. There is no other hope. May these words be said of us. And of course, all our darkness, all our sorrow, all our sins will be swallowed up one day when Christ comes again in the everlasting bliss. All else is ruination, verse 13, but in Christ is everlasting salvation. That's how I read these verses. There's hope for the individual believer. Call upon the name of the Lord, my friend, and prove it. There's hope for the individual unbeliever. Oh, call on the name of the Lord and be saved. You have not sinned yourself out of grace. You have not sinned yourself away from mercy. The only sin that will keep you from mercy is unbelief. If you will not call, but whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that includes you.